we'll see how it turns out. But yes, thank you for considering it, and I'll look elsewhere. All right, let's see here. 30 seconds. It takes that thing about 5 seconds, I think, once you push the button. So it's quarter to... Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
We've got a lot of things this morning going on, good things with the music and different things. So it's going to be a blessed morning. The Lord is going to give us, I think, a very special morning this morning. All right. So anybody in here have a birthday this past week? No one? Okay, I know there's people out there. Anniversaries. Now, I know Charlie and Nan Jones today have been married for 73 years. Praise God. You know, that's longer than a lot of people live. And they've been married that long. So, Charlie and Nan, God bless you. Happy anniversary. I hope you get to see this. And anybody else? Celebrating anniversary this past week? Oh, there was a birthday, yeah. Judy Tyler. So, Judy Tyler, thank you for watching. We've been made aware by Wayne Morse, and so we want to wish you a happy birthday. And as we sing this song, it's going out to you as well as anyone else. So, let's sing the two songs, starting with Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And now happy anniversary to Charlie and Nan and anybody else who happens to be watching that's celebrating. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. All right, praise the Lord. And now it's time for our memory verse, and we will all say it together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Praise God. Thank you for that promise. Lord Jesus, thank you for that promise. All right. We have a very good song. One that I love anyway. I hope everybody else does. And it's being done by the Gaithers. So here we go. He touched me.
Gloria and I wrote this back in 1963, back when your mom and daddy were just courting, right?
Just courting. Yeah, right.
Shackled by the hand, beneath the load of guilt and shame. Touched me, and now I blessed Savior. Since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him, to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And love and joy that floods my soul.
Church. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you again for such a beautiful day. Thank you for being such a beautiful God. So wonderful, so marvelous, so loving, so filled with grace and mercy. Lord, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be burning in hell for all of eternity. But you have made a way for us to avoid that eternity and to live in paradise, in heaven, with you for all of eternity. To be in your presence, to see you face to face. And we are so thankful, so thankful, so thankful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing us. Thank you for loving us so much that you died on the cross, paying a debt that we ourselves could not pay, that we might receive a reward that we could never earn. So Lord, we ask you to bless this service, and may it be used to lift you up on high, that all men may be drawn unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we have another praise song. Some will like it, some may not. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth. it shine.
All right, and now it is time for our communion meditation. So this morning we have Brother Jim Rominger with us who is going to share. So brother, come on up.
We as a people are task-oriented, and I've known that since we returned from Florida. My wife has planned a lot of tasks for me, and we've got a few of those done. So
it's called a honey-do list.
So I'm going to talk, plan out the task before you. Many times in my life, I've gone into a project with no real plan on how I would build or accomplish what I was setting out to do. How do you think this worked out? Normally, it was frustrating, and many changes had to be made along the way to accomplish what I originally planned to do. As I aged, I became a little wiser. If I was putting together a complicated piece of equipment, I looked at and read some of the instructions instead of just looking at the picture and trying to put it together. Before trying to put the equipment together. Do you have a plan for your life? Do you have a plan for a task before you? When we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we have a plan before.
Amen.
And a written instruction book.
Yes.
The Bible. To guide our steps. Are we reading the steps to follow before trying to do tasks set before us? I still am learning to read the instruction manual.
Amen.
Before me to learn to follow these instructions, as in life's practices to make perfect. But I'm far from perfect and failed miserably at times. Keeping my eyes on the shepherd, Jesus.
Amen.
He will pick you up when you fail. And if you don't give up, my hope is in Jesus. And as I age, maybe I become a little wiser. And I wanted to follow that up with Psalm 100. And Solomon here says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
Amen.
It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
Amen.
His faithfulness continues through all generations."
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and that psalm went so well with the song we just sung. Shout out. So, this morning as we get ready to partake of our communion emblems, we do this in remembrance of Christ and what he has done for us, what he means to us. He loves us, and by obedience we show our love to him. So let's partake with love. Father God, thank you so much for all you mean to us. Your word is very clear. Without you, we are nothing. But with you, all things are possible. Thank you that you take fickle human beings and use us for your glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We have another song that I think probably everybody knows and will enjoy, Victory in Jesus. And then we have special music by Brother Wayne Morris following that. Praise the Lord, Brother Wayne. Come on up. This song is one that may not normally be played in church, but there's a purpose, and it's appropriate. So With that, I'll leave Brother Wayne to explain the rest.
Good morning. This song I've chose to do today, is, as Brother Mitch says, not typically sing in church, but it has a special meaning to me and a lot of other people. It's a song about a man that or a woman that was raised up in the church, and then somehow along the way, you know, they fall by the wayside due to many things: alcohol, drugs, lack of concern. But deep down inside that person, God still lives there.
Amen. Preaching my sermon, brother.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, the Bible teaches us that if we are raised properly and raised in the church, that we'll never stray far from that.
Amen.
And, you know, I believe that.
Yes.
And this song kind of tells a story of someone that has had those kind of issues and somehow finds his way back. He hears things on a Sunday that reminds him of better days.
Amen.
So we'll try this song. Okay.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet through my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair, stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I've been kicking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I'd lost somewhere, somehow, along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing the Lord that I was gone, 'cause there's something in a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of a sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl, and he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the songs they were singing. Then I headed down the street, and somewhere far away a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyon like the disappearing dreams of him. Sunday morning sidewalk. I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. Was there something in a Sunday that makes the body feel the love? And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of sleeping city sides.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Definitely a different type of song than we're used to. But the message is clear and it's there. And it actually goes with the message this morning. It's amazing how God orchestrates all things to come together. Even the what was shared in the communion meditation, it's all going to tie together, and we will see that here in just a minute. So I'm sharing from Matthew chapter 13, the first 23 verses in the parable of the sower. So here we go. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Okay, so now we're ready to get into this thing and try to unwind or unravel what this is all about. We have to start first by thinking, what is a parable? I think that probably one of the best ways to explain a parable, it was an older gentleman, an older preacher one time told me that it's a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I think that's so true. And I think that makes it so easy for us to grasp. Because as the different types of soil, which, you know, it's the parable of the sower is what's called, but it could very easily be called the parable of the soil, because it's actually about the different types of soil more than it is about seed, because the same seed is sown in all the places. The sower is the same. The only thing that's different is the different types of soil. And so many people hear a parable and they immediately understand the earthly illustration. But not everyone is able to grasp the heavenly meaning. And that's where we come into this thing of Jesus saying, to you it's been given, but to them it's not. Well, he just came out of the house. Now, what was he doing in the house? He had healed, he was visiting, he was preaching. And then his mother and his brothers came, and they were outside the house. He was inside the house, which is symbolic of those that are in the kingdom of God and those that are out of the kingdom of God. And here we have him saying, hey, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? These who obey my father, who receive his word and obey. These are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. So then it says, in that same day. So this is all connected. This is all tied together. He steps outside the house, it says. And now he's addressing those outside. He's addressing those that are outside the kingdom, those that are outside the house. And so he starts teaching them by parables. And as parables, he's missing, he's getting people to pay attention. Did you ever hear anybody say, if you want to get somebody's attention, whisper? It works, don't it? Sometimes it don't, but most of the time it does. As we get older, you whisper, we don't hear you, so it don't make any difference. So, you know, the thing is that he is using this parable to grab their attention. And here's the thing, if you have a repentant heart, a pure heart that is searching for truth, if you truly are looking for answers, if you truly are seeking from God, then you will be able to understand. You will be able to grasp the heavenly meaning. These four different types of soil. You know, and the way that the soil was sown, that's the first thing we need to understand, I guess, about this parable is back then they didn't have the tractors and all the machinery that we have that do your planting and all that for you. So they had a bag with a shoulder strap around it, and they would take a handful of the seed, the grain, most likely, and they would just take it and toss it here, there, 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 there. And so that was their method of growing their grain, their wheat, and anything else that was planted. And so, you know, he talks about some of the seed went on to the path along the cultivated ground. There would have been a pathway, maybe even because they had community gardening. This section belonged to this family, this section belonged to this family, and there may be a pathway divided between. But they all come together at harvest time and work together. You come help me with mine, I'll come help you with yours. Some people still do that, by the way. So, if a seed fell onto this ground that was hard, anybody ever mess with clay, dirt? Hard dirt. It's hard to even get a pick in it. It's hard to get a shovel in it. But to try to grow something in it is like, you know, a waste of time, pretty much. And so this seed, that as they were broadcasting the seed, that's what they called it, broadcast sowing. As they broadcasted that seed, it went too far and went out on the path. Well, to the farmer, that's just a waste. You know, it's not going to grow. It's not going to produce. It does me no good. It's just a waste. However, here's the thing. When you are growing a garden, you understand that not every seed is going to produce. We understand that. If, like me, I planted three rows of corn this time around and nothing came up, that's kind of disappointing. So I retilled, and I'm going to start over. But the thing is, you know, those three rows of corn was a total waste. Total waste. Total loss. Did no good. How many times have we witnessed to people, and they never accepted Jesus? That's not a waste. It seems like it in the flesh. It seems like it. But we have to realize from a spiritual perspective, just like this parable, we shared what we knew to be the truth with these people. We shared what God has done for us, what God can and will do for them if they're willing to accept it, if they're willing to obey what he says, what his word says. But at that moment, at that time, they're not ready to receive it. But the seed was planted. And what makes the difference is the type of soil. Now, my personal way of accepting this and interpreting this, I'm no theologian, so I may be wrong, but this is the way I understand it and the way I'm going to share it with you. At different times in our life, our hearts are all four different kinds of soil. There is a time when people, like the seed that has no root. Someone does something really bad, they go to jail. Somebody comes along and offers them an out with Jesus. Oh, glory, I'm saved. Oh, glory to God, I love Jesus. As long as they're in jail. They get out. Their old friends come up and say, hey, come on, let's go rob his store. Come on, let's get high. Come on, let's do this. Come on, let's do that. And for a while, they're able to resist. No, I love Jesus. No, I want to do the right thing. But then so many people, so much bad influence, so much evil surrounds this person that they give in to the temptation and the devil just snatches that seed right out of their heart. It's not that their knowledge of God is gone. It's that their desire to obey him is defeated. They're beat into submission to the devil, to the world, to their friends, to their family members even. And that's so sad. It's so sad. I know many people. I've known two young people especially. This was several years ago at a different church where I was at. But there were two young people that felt really called to go into missionary work. One wanted to go to Africa, and another wanted to go to a different country. I can't remember now what it was. But their parents told them, no, you cannot do it. It's too dangerous. Folks, that's wrong. I'm sorry. That's wrong. We do not, as parents, have a right to interfere with God's calling on the lives of our children. who's got the greater authority, the parent or God? I mean, that's not too hard for us to figure out when we think of it that way. Yes, we love our children. Yes, we want to protect our children. But you know what? We can't. Children have been killed just going to school, right? Doesn't that prove that we can't always protect our children? Children that have been raised in a Christian home, just like that song we sang, have gone astray. They've gone astray, the song that Wayne sung, rather. Children have been drawn away by the allurement of the world. You know, you think back about Abraham and his nephew Lot, and it says everything was going great, and they were growing, and they were their crops were growing, their herds were growing, everything was going really well. It was getting bigger and bigger, and more blessing and more blessing. And it got to the blessing to where there was so much that the herdsmen were beginning to fight among themselves, saying, "No, this is our pathway to go and eat. No, this is our pathway to no." And so Abraham finally goes to Lot, and he says, "Look, let's not divide over this. Rather, let's go separate ways as friends instead of becoming enemies. Let's not quarrel." And, you know, even though I'm older, even though I have the right to claim what I want, I'm going to let you choose. You go one direction, I'll go the other. Whatever you want to do. And what does it say? It says that Lot looked over and saw the lights of the city. Oh, beautiful range for his crops and convenience to have people around. And he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And later on it says that even though he was just, he was vexed in his spirit every day because of the sinfulness of the people around him. All of the homosexuality, all of the filth that was going on around him, it vexed him in his spirit every day. So, when we choose, we have to be careful, and we need to ask God, where should I go? What should I do? And obey what he says. When, at times, I can remember, when I was younger, especially, when I was a teenager, and I would hear the gospel, and that was back when we still had true revival meetings, you know. preachers come in and pour their hearts out. And even though there was a part of me that was being drawn into this message from this man of God and the Holy Spirit working, trying to draw me in, I was puff up and say, "Nah, I don't believe in this garbage. This is a bunch of idiots believe this stuff. My mom and dad fell in that trap. I ain't going to." And then God broke my heart one night. Really broke my heart. I was 14, and I ran to the front. I ran to the front. I didn't even wait till he was done. I couldn't stand it anymore. I was under such heavy conviction. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I ran up there, and one of the deacons came up, and it was a Baptist church. They didn't have elders, so, you know, one of the deacons came forward and prayed with me, and I accepted Jesus. Now, the thing is that I truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I always had, because I grew up in a Christian family. I don't remember there ever being a time in my life when I did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Guess what? The devil believes that too. But I was just like the devil. I believed it, but I still didn't obey. And that got me in more trouble. There was a part of me that wanted, that was drawn in, and there was a part of me that was drawn out. I mean, all of my friends were getting high. All of my friends were drinking beer. All of my friends were messing around and finding out their place in life where they belong. And I'm thinking, I know all that's sinful, but I don't have any friends when I don't do this stuff. Peer pressure. It's hard. It's tough. It's on our youth. They have to work through these things. It is hard because you have the devil, the flesh, and the world all drawing you away from God. And Holy Spirit, and I believe ministers, angels ministering around us, rather, draw us into the right way, into the path. But we have to choose. Each of us must choose. Which voice are you going to hear? And that comes back to the kind of soil. What kind of soil is it that the Holy Spirit is cultivating? What kind of soil is it that the seed is going into? Is it the kind that is just hard, calloused? And even though the seed is planted, it just bounces off. Nothing happens. Is it the kind of, is your heart the kind of soil that when the Holy Spirit ministers to you, when someone in love comes and shares the gospel with you, that, you know, you get excited right immediately and, whoa, glory to God, I'm saved. And then your friends come by and say, hey, let's go party. Oh, no, I can't, I'm a Christian. You're a what? My foot. I know better than that. God would never save you. Coming from an atheist, you know, that means a lot, right? But yet, it's peer pressure. It's peer pressure. And that happens enough that if the church family is not mentoring this young person, this new Christian, they fall into that snare. They get sucked right in by all of their friends telling them how stupid they are and what all they're missing out on. Oh, and even if you do, the Lord will forgive you, right? Because he's a forgiving God. So many people are under the impression that God has to forgive us when we ask, right? Wrong. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God does not have to forgive you. He does not have to forgive me. He wants to. But there's conditions. We have to repent. We have to confess. We have to repent. Repent means turn from that sinfulness and turn to him. Does that mean that if we sin and do a sin after we're saved, that he won't forgive us? No. But if we try to live that way, committing a sinful thing all the time, and then every day saying, Lord, forgive me. Go do it again. Lord, forgive me. Go do it again. Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. We don't mean it, folks. And God knows that. God knows our heart. That's the difference. Is when we are sincere, when we truly repent sincerely, when we truly are heartbroken about that sin, when we are ashamed of our sin against the holy God who wants to save us, the one who sent his son to die in our place, his blood was shed so that we could be cleansed and saved and go to heaven for eternity. And if we walk on that blood and say, you think God's going to forgive that? So many people, at funerals especially, oh, he's in a better place now. He was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. But he's in a better place now. Folks, I got news for you. Hell's not a better place. And if we live a life that is in direct contradiction to what God's word says, you are not going to the better place. Contrary to popular belief, not everyone goes to heaven when they die. Only those who have truly put their faith in Jesus Christ, only the soil that was ready to receive and be committed to obeying the gospel, being committed to do everything to search out the scriptures and find what Jesus says I'm supposed to do and be committed to doing that. And what he says I'm not supposed to do, being committed to not doing that. Folks, we'll never be perfect. We will always fail slightly here and there. We will fail sometimes more than others. But if in our heart of hearts we are committed to doing better. We're committed to overcoming. We're committing ourselves to say, Jesus, you take control. Jesus, take the wheel, as the popular new song says. Jesus, take the wheel. As we allow Him to be the one, the Holy Spirit, to guide our lives, to guide us into all truths, then our soil will produce 60, 100, 30-fold. What does that mean? That means that we will reproduce what God has put in us. We will go out and make disciples. We will go and mentor people by sharing what God has done to help us get through the tough times they're going through right now. We will be committed to doing right, whether anybody else around us does or not. We won't be going around taking a popular opinion poll to see what's right or wrong. We will be going to the Word of God to see what's right and wrong. And then we're going to make our mind up, we're going to do what is right. Will we always? No. But that's where God's forgiveness comes in. Because we have made a commitment, because we are trying and failing, but trying, sincerely trying, not trying to fool God and say, oh, well, you know, you don't care if I do it once. You don't, yeah, well, I got news for you. God cares. And not only that, but that's a lie from the pit of hell too, because just like I remember quitting smoking. The first time I quit, I put a New Testament, a little New Testament Bible, in this pocket where I carried my cigarettes. And every time that I reached to get a cigarette, I ended up reading a verse of Scripture. And you know what? I quit with no problem. I quit because that Scripture gave me strength to let it go and to honor God. And then one day, working at several gas stations, but one in particular, I was working there, here's all these cigarettes. I'm putting all the cigarettes up, and I'm selling all these cigarettes, and I think, boy, wouldn't it be nice to just have one cigarette? Stupid. I bought a pack of cigarettes, opened it up, and I smoked one, and guess what? I started all over again. Took me a year to get smart enough to quit again. That time when I quit, the Holy Spirit told me to quit. You can't do what I called you to do and do that. I laid them down, literally, on the mantle. It was a pack that had two or three out of it. I laid them down and I never touched them again. A year later, I took those pack of cigarettes and threw them away. God wants us to honor Him with our lives. And if our hearts are not willing to do that, you see, because honestly, even though there's four different types of soils, there's really only two responses, yes or no. Yes or no. Yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. And sometimes even when we say yes, we're not sincere. We don't really mean it. We think we do at the moment. But when things get tough, when the persecution comes, when our friends tell us how dumb we are doing, being to do that, and so forth and so on, it's gone. We're not going to do it anymore. But I learned the hard way that once you truly make a commitment to Jesus, you can withstand the humiliation that your friends put upon you. You can withstand the threats of your fellow drug addicts that are telling you if you're a narc, they're going to kill you. You can withstand all of that stuff by the strength that Jesus gives you and move on with your life. And after a while, all of those people go away. They don't want to be around a sincere Christian because it makes them feel guilty about their sins. So they go away. They stop bothering you. The devil uses them long enough to try to pull you away. And after a while, he decides that doesn't work. I'll have to do something else. He never quits trying to pull us away. But he has to use different methods to do it. What type of soil do you think your heart is today? Have you the good soil that has received this word, this seed? And are you then producing? Are you reproducing yourself as a Christian by sharing the gospel with others? By committing yourself to Christ to go out and to help others, to help and meet needs of even people you don't like very much? There is so much opportunity, folks, so much opportunity right now in this nation to reach people with the gospel. You know, all the shut-ins, people that are shut in because of COVID, we can offer to go get things for them. Those of us who are able to get out. I know not everybody in here can, but for those of us who can, we can go in and go get things for those who are more highly susceptible than we are and bring it and drop it off on their door for them. It doesn't matter if we know them well or not. That doesn't make any difference. But that's a great way to say, Jesus loves you. He's loving you through me right now. He asked me to do this for you. You know, probably all of you know this. Maybe not to people on Facebook, and that doesn't apply to them necessarily. But I go out to Bob and Wilma's farm and mow for them. You know why? Because God told me to. Plain and simple. God told me, you know, they're your elders. It's hard for them to go do this. You can go do it. You're in better shape than they are. So go do that for them. Be a blessing. Okay, Lord. And there's times when I really don't want to. But I love doing it. I really do. I like mowing anyway. And I love the fact that they get blessed. Because it's something that saves them the heartache of doing all that. All the trouble. And if we listen to God, each one of us, God speaks to us and tells us there's something that he wants us to do. There is something, somewhere, that he wants us to participate and to help and to minister. We're all called to minister in one way or another. We may not all be called into the preaching ministry, but there are many types of ministries. So, what kind of soil do you have? And what is your response when Jesus calls? Are you saying yes? And when you say yes, are you making a commitment to continue to do that, what he has commanded, until he changes that, until he says, you no longer need to worry about it. But for now, until I say so, do this. Are we doing it, church? Are we doing it? Father God, thank you so much for these few moments to share in your word. And I pray, Lord, that it was a blessing. I hope that it ministered to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be committed to doing what you say, to doing what is right, doing what is good, and showing our love to others, and thereby showing our love to you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Now we have a song, Keep the Faith, by the Journeyman Quartet.
In a little country church just outside a little town, God reached down and saved a little boy. Somewhere on the journey, as he became a man, the devil took him out and took his joy. And every day he struggled with a battle he was in, You've got to
fight the good fight.
You've got to
keep on following Jesus. He promised he would lead us, but we've got to keep the faith. Now the path is straight and the gate is narrow. Just look to Jesus and follow, but you've got to keep the faith.
So many who are searching, trying hard to find a better way. They try to open doors, but the doors won't seem to open. Somehow they've overlooked the key. That Jesus is the way. He will lead you home. He's the answer to the things you've never known. And you can live forever if only you believe. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? That you've got to
fight the good fight.
You've got to
keep on following Jesus. He promised he would lead us, but we've got to keep the faith. Now the path is straight and the gate is narrow. Just look to Jesus and follow, but you've got to keep the faith.
You've got to
fight the good fight.
You've got to
keep on following Jesus. He promised he would lead us, but we've got to keep the faith. Now the path is straight and the gate is narrow. Just look to Jesus and follow, but you've got to keep the faith.
You've got
to
Amen. See how God ties all of this together? Oh.
We ran out of battery.
We shouldn't. It's plugged in. But, okay. God orchestrated all of this today to be a blessing for us and for all who were with us for the time we had, anyway. It's amazing what God does. It really is. We miss sometimes what God is doing to orchestrate things so that we have the opportunities we have. And we need to pay more attention. And we need to give him thanks. So let's do that now. Father God, thank you so much that you were here with us this morning again. Thank you that you orchestrated everything to come together and to fit together so well. Each piece, Lord, you put together. And we're so grateful that you have used this to touch our hearts, to teach us, to bring us closer to you. So, Lord, let it continue as we leave it here in Jesus' name. Amen. Family of God.
I'm so glad
I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined with Jesus. As we travel this song, for I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.